Morning, everybody. Today we're going to be in both Matthew and Luke. Has anybody ever told you you couldn't hit the broad side of a barn door? Yeah, if you've ever heard the words airball, it means the same thing. You're not such a great shot. And so today, part of what we're going to be talking about is taking aim and aiming intentionally towards a goal, striving towards a goal. And if you see what's going on out there in Christianity, you would probably come to the conclusion that, well, Christianity's pretty easy. I can believe this and that, and I can do this and that, and I can come on Sundays if I want. I can stay at home if I want. I can more or less do whatever I want. But is it that easy? Is what we see, is everybody going? Well, if you know any of these stories, there are going to be few. Few is the main idea. And it's not going to be everybody, and it's not so easy. Jesus said in John 10:19, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture." So that's in today's two readings, Jesus saying he is the door, he is the gate. That is the idea. Well, it was working before. I turned it on and then off. Or I turned it the other way. I turned it off and then on. Ah, there we go. Okay. Whatever you did, I think that worked. All right. Yeah. All right. Our main text today is going to be in Matthew 7, but we're going to start in Luke 13 because both of these combined give us some really good aspects to look at. And in Luke, I'm going to read this Luke section for us, and then we're going to talk about this idea of striving today and what that means and how that means kind of the opposite of how we see religion today as it's easy. In Luke 13, 22 through 28, we read, "Then Jesus traveled throughout the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way toward Jerusalem. 'Lord,' someone asked him, 'will only a few people be saved?'" Stop there for a second. Think about this for a minute. Jesus' teachings, are they easy? This guy asking, "Will few be saved?" He's asking with the understanding that, hey, it doesn't seem like many people are going to make it. There's not going to be a huge crowd. Will anyone be saved? Will few just be saved? Jesus answers and continues on. He says, "Make every effort or strive to enter through the narrow door or the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. After the master of the house gets up and shuts the door, you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' But he will reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' He will answer, 'I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are thrown out.'" All right. strive to enter through the narrow door, the narrow gate. It's interesting if you've ever looked up this word, strive. Its meaning is to struggle, to strain. It is a word designed to have the idea of pain. The beginning of the Greek word is, you see the root word agonize in the first part of this word. So do you think as we agonize, struggle, strain through the narrow door, does that sound like an easy thing to do? Oh, no. No. We know through so many examples, if not every example, that it's going to be difficult, that there is going to be pain, that there is going to be refining taking place over our lives. And so not only are we, you see it in the very first word, strive, but we also see that it is a narrow door. Towards the end, we do see the consequences of those who do not strive to enter through the narrow door. For them, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You've probably read this and remember this. It's a memorable image of this gnashing of teeth, this idea of being distraught in agony. And it's more of an action towards someone than it's just personal pain. But it's weeping and gnashing your teeth at someone. And so it would be that tragic to be shut out and to know that Master's not going to open that door. But it's that agonizing. All right, I want to make a few points from the Matthew account. We're going to look at three different points here about these words being narrow and wide. In the first part, we see the gate. We see a contrast between a wide gate, a broad gate, or if you want to keep in your mind, a spacious gate. Easy, you're not missing it. It's a big, wide gate. And then the contrast of the narrow gate. You're not just going to run into this by accident. You're not going to get in by accident. You have more of a chance of hitting the big, broad gate, and you are not going to hit that small gate by accident. It is small and it takes intention to go towards that gate. That gate being Jesus. Is there any other way, any other gate? No. There's no Christianity, Christ plus anybody else. You can't minus Christ. There is only one gate. There is one door, and it's only by him that you'll get to heaven, that you will get to the Father. The road is the next contrast. Now, I want to put this idea in your mind. You have I'm not sure what the largest or widest or most spacious kind of super high highway is, maybe a 7-8 lane highway. If you're driving down there, nobody's there, you can put your pedal on the gas, probably close your eyes and just drive. You'll be fine. If you're walking, you know, even more so, because you'll get there slower. On the contrast, we see that the road is difficult. The translation, I think, is not, it's not great. You can say it's narrow. You can say it's difficult. But it is an intentional thing going down this narrow path. For example, if you say you're walking on that super highway, and you put this tape down, and you lay it all down for miles and miles and miles, just this little, you know, scotch tape that you can see. And you go blindfolded, just start walking down. What do you think the probability is that you're going to stay on that little piece of scotch tape for miles and miles and miles? Yeah, it's zero. It's zero. You can do like a lot of people do for creation theory and say it's, you know, the probability is 10 times 9 to the 200th power. It's zero. The answer is zero. You're not just gonna randomly walk down and hit this little piece of tape for, you know, miles without seeing it, without intentionally walking where you intend to. Before we get to that, I want to make this point that it is difficult. Becoming a Christian, we often see it as a clear starting point, repentance and baptism, but then we forget that we have to continue following Christ, and that continuance and even that repentance means that things are going to have to change in our lives. And is change difficult? Oh, man. So imagine changing from a worldly mindset to being led by the Spirit, to being led by the Word of God, changing how you see the whole world. I know I'm old enough to know to have changed from a flip phone. Yeah, from a flip phone to a smartphone. And you know what? I resisted that. Nobody would resist that, right? But I would go, it's the one where you click the buttons, you go click, 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 see. Click, 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 click. And, you know, like 10 minutes later, you have like a sentence. It's, you know, you want, it's good to trade that up, to change that cell phone for a much better device. But we resist change. We resist change. And that's no different than changing the change we have to go through in being refined, in learning from the Word, in conforming our lives to Christ, to walking that narrow road, to walking towards that narrow gate. And we know, because we decide, whenever we become Christians, we repent and we become baptized, our sins are washed away, and we decide to follow Christ. It's not easy after that. It doesn't mean it's easy for those changes to take place. And it is a struggle. And we know that. We know that. And so knowing is, you know, half the battle, if you remember that one. But it's not the whole thing. We have to keep going and keep struggling towards that goal. Some great examples of this. You know, we know these. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus was talking to his disciples and says, if anyone would come to me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We kind of shrug that off sometimes. Okay, what does that mean? Little struggle, little change, you know, little less of me. Matthew 10:38, again, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Ooh, okay, that sounds a little more serious. I've really got to figure out what this means. 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example of suffering, so that you might follow in his steps. If we're trying to be more like Christ and follow in his steps, suffering. It's going to happen. It's not an easy life. You count the cost. Hopefully you count the cost before you get baptized and you say you're going to do it, because it is a tough thing. And I like Acts 14:22. It's speaking of Paul and Barnabas. It says strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. And he said, saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. We talked about that this morning. Did Paul go through many tribulations? Oh, man. He had it rough. And if you read in Hebrews at the end of the Hall of Faith, you read some really tough situations that those Christians had to go through at the end of chapter 11. But I digress just a little bit. Many enter through the broad gate, down the broad path. Many are going there. Few are going to find the narrow gate and walk the narrow, difficult path to strive your whole life to enter, finally, at the end. I think it's something that we can meditate on for just a minute. If you remember Matthew 13, the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sower, you know, one just rejected the word. How many accepted it? Three. So there's three soils calling themselves Christians. How many are good soils, though? Yeah, it's going to be more than we think, I think. There will be many, like you read in Luke, and say, open to us. Didn't we do this and do that? Didn't we prophesy, teach in your name? And didn't we come to church every Sunday? And, you know, didn't I read my Bible a time or two a week? And, you know, what's he going to say? I never knew you. I never knew you. And so we come back to this idea of striving. This idea of striving that I think people have lost. You know, you can do some inward reflecting yourself. You know, being a Christian is difficult. How's your life going? I think it's not the only indicator, but, you know, it's going to be difficult to be a Christian. If life's going too great, too smooth, too amazingly, you know, maybe you know, stop a minute and, you know, check what you're doing. Check your aim. Check your goal. Check and see if you're on that scotch tape, you know, walking and striving towards the goal. Because it's real easy to get distracted. So we need to be intentional about how we live, about what we do, about what we think. It's not about this idea of the narrow gate or narrow door. It's not about keeping people out, but it's about commitment. It's about, what are you doing? What are you striving for? What's your mind's eye? What do you love? And we see that, you know, like I'm saying, the wide road, it's real easy. It's popular. You can call yourself a Christian and be lumped in with, you know, with other Christians who are going down this easy path, not given, you know, maybe 2 minutes of thought towards God, towards Jesus. But the narrow road, it looks different. And so what I want to do today is to ask you, what does your path today look like? What do you give your time and attention to? What do you give your effort to? What do you give your money to? You know, it's a tough thing. Everybody wants your time and your attention. I lived for a couple of years without a cell phone when I was living abroad, and it was amazing. No pull on your attention. Nobody can just contact you at any point. If you can try it, I'm not sure if you can try it in this country, you'd probably die after like 2 seconds. 2 years, it was the most amazing time. If I could ever get back to that, that's also like a side goal. I would love it. Oh, man. But people will pull on your time and attention, as well as entertainment, media, Facebook. You know, I'm kind of a teacher, too. And, you know, one of the problems, well, with schools, as well as the problems with, you know, everybody, is that our attention spans are so small that we can't focus for 2 seconds about what somebody's saying. I've probably already spoken too long today. You're like, what's going on? Where's my phone? What's on Facebook? What's my friend doing after this? It's so hard. But we need to focus on those good things, whatever is good, pure and lovely. Meditate on those things. Take time and put the cell phone away. Turn off the TV. Turn off the computer. I know it's tough because I'm changing too. I'm trying to, you know, change as best I can. And I know you're doing the same. We're all trying to change as best we can to aim more precisely. And to not just be wandering around with your effort. I mean, I can go on. We got, you know, jobs, I know, necessity. But jobs take up more time than they probably should sometimes. Sports, good. I love sports. Definitely take up a lot of time. And anything else, you know. How much time are you spending in the Bible? How much time are you spending praying? How much time do you spend just talking about God or Bible things with your family, with your friends? I know some of these things are close to zero. I know. But we gotta take stock. Keep them in mind. Change, be refined, and not say no to that change. Money, yeah, I mean, you guys know. Money leads to your heart. Wherever you're putting your money, you know, you'll see one or two or three or more things that you really love. Whether that's clothes or entertainment, food. A lot of entertainment and food these days. I know, guilty, man. Guilty. But some things to consider. And so what I want to leave you with is to just ask you, are you walking intentionally? And today, to just kind of challenge you to walk more intentionally. You're not going to get there haphazardly. You're not going to die one day and say, oh, wow, well, I didn't really expect to go to heaven, but, you know, here I am. What a wonderful surprise. Well, if there's somebody like that, I don't know how that would be possible. It just doesn't seem possible. I would expect I think I'm pretty safe in saying 100% are going to be aiming right at that narrow gate. And going to be, you know, pretty sure that they're going to be waking up in the place they're going to be waking up. But I do know there are going to be people expecting to be one place, but have not done any intentional living. And they'll be those people that you read about here in Luke. And it's going to be a sad day. It's going to be a great day for us. But yeah, that's why I think there's a great day coming. It's going to be a great day, whether that day is great or that day is greatly terrible. So that's my challenge for you today. Think about what you're doing. Think about where all this stuff is in your life, and to live more intentionally, just a little bit more intentionally, day by day, week by week. Think about it. And so if you haven't started your walk, if you haven't repented, if you haven't given your life to Jesus in baptism, washing away those sins, before that, you know, count the cost. You got to know it's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. There's going to be sacrifice, taking up your cross daily. But if you have a mind, the helmet of salvation, and you're looking towards that salvation, that promise, then and you're ready, you can do that today, you can do it now, you can do it anytime, to repent and put on Jesus in baptism. If you want to do that now, you can. If you want to do it later, you can talk to really anybody. All right, let's stand and sing our song of invitation.